Amen. Good to be back one more time. Good to be here at Edgefield Baptist Church. What a blessing to come back this way. And can I say before we get started, what a blessing it's been this week for us to be here. Just like coming home. Amen. Had two of our children. Well, we live just right across the tracks here in very familiar areas, very familiar faces that we've had the opportunity to see this week. And it's just been a blessing to our heart to come back and be with folks here at Edgefield Baptist Church. We thank for the invite and Brother David and amen for inviting us to come be share the precious word of God with you. And it's been a privilege. Like I say again, I'd like to say thank you for all those that have lifted our family up during the home going and really the passion of the home going of my sister-in-law. We thank you for the prayer. Please continue to pray that God will continue to touch and uplift our family through that that they're going through. Turn your Bible, if you would, the book of Ruth. Chapter number two, Ruth chapter number two. Those of you that, amen, that go out of that we pastor at Pathway Baptist Church know what a fondness and what a pleasure it is to preach out, get to preach out of the book of Ruth. I love that opportunity when God gives us to share the precious word of God out of this precious book. And if you never had the opportunity to study the book of Ruth, I encourage you to do so. It is a precious book. It is a book full of the grace of God. And I tell you what, I'm like Brother David, if I ain't nothing that excites me better, it's the grace of God. Amen. If I ain't nothing, I may be a preacher, but I ain't nothing. Brother David tell you the same thing. He may be a preacher, but he ain't nothing. Amen. It's the grace of God. Amen. That touches, reaches down to somebody unworthy. Amen. We'll never be, let me just go ahead and say that. I don't want to burst your bubble. Amen. If I do, so be it. But there ain't none of us in this room is worthy of the grace of God. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how it's upstanding in the community you live, you may be. None of us are worthy, amen, for the grace of God that He bestowed upon us. And let me make that clear tonight. But we find out here in the book of Ruth chapter 2, I want to start reading with the verse number 1, read down through verse number 11, share the salt that we feel like the Lord has to share with you tonight. In Ruth chapter number 2, begin verse number 1, down through verse number 11. Now, the Word of God says this, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word. God, help us to proclaim the truth of this text. God, in a manner and a way that every heart that may be here may be encouraged. Lord, to be one here tonight that may be lost and undone. God, may this be the day, Lord, that your grace reaches down to even them. Lord, that your mercy, God, gets a hold of their heart, Father, and show them the love that you have for each and every one of us today. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We ask this in thy name. Lord, may you touch, may you move, may you touch upon this service. We pray this we ask in thy name. Amen and amen. I want to look today at, you'll find in verse number 11, there was a statement made that I want to draw our attention to tonight. And I want to share the thought from that scripture. Look down verse number 11, the word of God says this, Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Wife, have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Now I want to look at that scripture there today, and I want to look at that text that's saying that Ruth said, and I want to preach upon that thought. You say, preacher, what thought is that? Amen. She said, why? Who am I that you should take knowledge? Hey man, upon such one as me, being a stranger. Now I want to preach upon the subject tonight, when grace found me. When grace found me. I'm so glad today, thank God, that one day grace found me. I'm glad we find out in this scripture here, in this statement that she's making, she's simply saying, how in the world could your grace find me? How in the world could your grace be bestowed upon me? Such a dead dog, such a stranger as I am. Why in the world should you look upon me? Can I say today, how many of everyone in this room today could say the same thing? Amen, as Ruth said there. And when we look up to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, how in the world could you look down upon somebody like me? How in the world, God, can I find grace in your eyes? A stranger, amen, just a dead dog, good for nothing. But Lord, who am I? Glad, thank God. Amen. When grace found me, maybe we can all ask that same question today. Lord, who am I? Why is it that you could look upon somebody like me and I could find grace in your eyes? Thank God, I believe we can agree that it's His saving grace. Amen, we can look to. It's His strengthening grace that we can hang on to. It's His sustaining grace that helps us through the trials, helps us through the valley, helps us through the hard time. It's His sufficient grace that's good enough. Amen, to get us through. Amen, the moments of doubt and troubles and trials. When it seems like we're all along, His grace is sufficient even for the bad times in our lives. Been many definitions of grace. I was reading today, Donald Gray Barnhouse gave this definition of grace. He said this, there have been many definitions of grace, and I thought the best of these definitions was simply unmerited favor. Or the biblical line, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man. Oh, can I say today, hey, and I've always heard it put in the acronym, grace, as God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Can I tell you today, they ain't none of us, as I've always stated, amen, is worthy of the righteousness of God. Amen, can I say today, amen, everything that you can do to be righteous in the sight of God is just a filthy rag. Nothing more, amen, to be taken, crumbled up, and thrown in the fire. That's all it is. You say, preacher, you know, it doesn't matter how much I give to the church. It doesn't matter how faithful I am to the church. Doesn't matter, amen, how good I can walk, how good I can sing, or how good I can preach. No, it don't. Can I say, we're everything we can do, amen, in our own strength, it's just like a filthy rag. But I'm glad it's the righteousness, amen, it was bestowed upon me, through that wonderful plan of salvation, Brother Brian, amen, that I had nothing to do with. I was unworthy, Brother David, that the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness should be bestowed upon me. I'm glad that Paul made a statement. He said, listen, amen, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. He said, but it's Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Hey, we have been made righteous through the blood of Christ. Nothing we can do within our own rights or within our own abilities. Oh, but can I say today, it's through the precious grace of God that He found me. I want to look upon this book here that I've already made mention, the book of Ruth. Amen, is a precious book. You find out that the book of Ruth magnifies the grace of God in the place in the scripture. Amen, you say, preacher, what do you mean? If you'll look and study, you'll find out that it is the eighth book in the canon of the scriptures. If you know the numerical meanings in scripture, that number eight stands for a new beginning.
I'm so glad, thank God, for a God of new beginnings. It don't matter where you may be tonight. It don't matter what you may be going through. It don't matter how much you'll fail. It don't matter how deep in sin you may be tonight. I'm glad I serve a God whose grace knows about where you're at. Thank God He knows what sin you may be tied up in. He knows what mess you may be about to drown in. But can I tell you, it's His grace that can come down right where you're at, pick you up, amen, and do for you what you can't do for yourself. I'm talking about when grace found me. I'm glad, thank God, He didn't just find me, Brother David, amen, when I was lost and undone. I'm glad His grace finds me new each day. I'm glad when I get up in the morning, His grace comes down. I'm glad when I go through the day, His grace is still there. I'm glad when I go to bed at night, it lays down with me. I'm glad, thank God, the grace of God finds me in my moments of weakness, in my moments of trouble, in my moments of loneliness. It's God's grace that it comes down and finds me and embraces me. Woo! Thank God. Ain't you glad? Grace is better, amen, than a mama coming down to a child in the midst of a storm. Amen. Wrapping his little arms around you. Amen. Grace. It's better. Amen. And daddy taking that little boy up in his arms and shielding him from harm. Amen. Grace is far better than anything we could ever do with our own children. Grace is so much better. When grace found me, not only we see that the book of Ruth magnifies the grace of God in its place of the scripture, but it also magnifies God, amen, in its placement in the scripture. Here's the preacher, what he's talking about. We find out that Judges is a picture or picture's gloom. Many of you, those of you have studied the book of Judges, you know how they went from just a time of gloom. If you look at the very last verse of the book of Judges, you'll find out the Word of God says this, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was a book of gloom. They went from failure to a mountain. Back to failure. Every time God would bring a leader in, they would repent of their sin and cry out to God. Hey, amen. But yet they would forget when that leader was gone. And they'd go right back into sin. God had to bring judgment. Had to bring them back into bondage to the heathen nations. Hey, amen. Until they cried out again. And God one more time. It was a continual process that you see all through the book of Judges. One failure after another. One failure after another. Brother David, seem like, I find myself, amen, sympathize, or if I'm not really sympathizing, I find myself, hey, sometimes like Judges. Seem like from time to time in my life, seem like I'm one failure after another. I seem like I get on a pinnacle and God bless me. All of a sudden I find myself down in the ditch again, the cold. Amen, or something I should have done that I didn't do. Or maybe something God told me to do that I did not do. Amen, or a sin that I should not have committed that I did. I find myself just like the Word of Judges, crying out to God one more time, say, God, forgive me, Lord, for my sin. Oh, but His grace will come right back down and find me. Woo! Thank God, pick me up one more time. Thank God. You said, preachers, that give you a right to, no, sir, it don't give you a right to sin. Let me just say that right quick, like. Amen. If you, we understand the grace of God in its context, you'll realize it's the grace of God. Amen. It teaches us to die ungodly love, that we should live righteously, soberly in this wicked world. But we find out that Judges is a book of gloom. First Samuel is a book of glory. Amen. Right in the middle of those two, you'll find this little four chapter book called Ruth. Amen. It's a picture of grace. Honey, if you're going to get from gloom to glory, you got to go through grace. You'll now make it from the gloom of the sin that you may be in to the glory that's in heaven until you go through the grace of God.
And I want to look just for a moment at a few things about grace. Hey, man, the fact that grace, found me. Find out that, hey, man, many of you know this story. Hey, man, how that Ruth became to be in Bethlehem there. How she was living in a land called Moab. Hey, man, how Elimelech took his family, his wife and his two boys in the midst of a famine down, hey, man, to the country of Moab. Hey, man, Moab was a picture of the world. If you'll do some study, you'll find out it came out through the incest of Lot and his daughters. You'll find out it's a picture of the world in Scripture. Hey, man, the Bible said that Elimelech took his two sons, hey, man, his wife, and went down into Moab. The Bible said he sojourned there. The Bible said that he died, and his two sons died also. After 10 years, hey, man, Naomi came to the realization that wasn't where she needed to be. Hey, man, she'd heard that it was bred one more time in the land of Bethlehem. She made a decision that she was going to go back to that land of Bethlehem from which she had come. Hey, man, she knew that God, the bread was there. That was the place where she was supposed to be. And we find out that she had two daughter-in-laws, or two widowed daughter-in-laws. Hey, man, those two had married her son, and both her son had died, and left her with two widowed daughters-in-law. Bible said they both wanted to go with her. She said, no, y'all need to stay with your people. Stay with your family. Stay with your kin. Bible said that Orpah made a decision to stay there in Moab. Bible said that Ruth clave unto Naomi. She made a decision. She said, listen, I'm tired of being where I'm at. I'm tired of what's going on. I want to trust in the God you trust in, Naomi. I want to go to the place you told me about so much. I want to go meet the people you told me about so much. I want to go, hey man, to where you're going. The Bible says she rose and went with Naomi to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And we find out that when they got there, hey man, the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. Now she gets verse 2. And Ruth, the Moabitess, says to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Now I want you to understand, under the law to the land of Bethlehem, you look on the Mosaic law. Amen. God had told Moses that when it come gleaning time, that they could glean the fields, but they were certain that that was in the corners of the field, they were not to glean. They said, that is for the widows. That is for those that are poor. Hey, man, they can't provide and need something that's not provided for them. He said, you leave that for them. So we see it was a law that God had given to Moses to take care of people like Naomi, people like, amen. Now I want you to understand something here today. Now today in America, the land we live in, there's laws and there's organizations that help those that are widows, help those that are orphans, hey man, and financing them and allowing them to live. Back under biblical times, there was no such thing. Back under biblical times, if you were a widow, you had to get by with any way you could. You had to glean the corners of the field. Hey man, just to scrape a barely enough, just to sustain your life. Hey man, the outlook for the future for a widowed woman wasn't much. Yet, sound familiar? I'm glad, thank God, that's where we was. My outlook on life, there wasn't nothing, hey man, out there bright in the future. But I'm glad God had a thing called grace. Amen. To know what I was going to need, Brother Raymond. Amen. When I couldn't do for myself, I'm glad the grace of God had been intended by the precious power of God to do for me what I could not do for myself. But you notice, first of all, fact that grace found me. The personality of grace. You say, preacher, what do you mean? That person, the word personality means the character of grace. We've all got a personality that makes us who we are. Some of us have a personality of being joyful and cheerful and having a smile and
Hey, man, some of us have a personality of being outgoing and, hey, man, and have humor. And, hey, man, we've all got personalities. But grace, we see the personality of grace. She said, preacher, what is the personality of grace? Look what it said. She was a Moabitish woman. Verse 2. At the picture of a sinner. I'm glad the personality of grace reaches down to the lowest. Thank God she was down there in Moab, Brother Harry. Honey, she was down there in the cesspool. She was down there in the worst part, I believe. As the scripture said, amen, Moab is my worst part. The Bible said, Lord speaking himself. I'm glad the grace of God. Amen, the personality of the grace of God. Reach it down to the lowest pit, at the lowest place of this world to get you right where you're at. I'm talking about when grace found me. Woo! Thank God. Oh, some of you know where I'm at. Yep. You've been there. You've been to pouring your blind. How when you feel like you're down below. Hey, man, the mud. You're stuck in the mire and mud of this world. But thank God that you're glad that the grace of God came down where you were at. That your lowest place found you right where you were at. Woo! Oh, my, when grace found me. Hey, man, some of you know. Oh, if you don't know, you can find out tonight. Oh, because he knows right where you're at. You may be right in this miry clay right now. Oh, but grace is seeking you tonight. Hey, we want to bring you out of that place. Put you where he intends you to be. Now, why don't we see the push down to grace? Hey, man, reach it down to the lowest. Bible says Romans 5:8, but God commends his love toward us. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, I've heard folks say, preacher, boy, it just breaks my heart. I hear them say this. Preacher, when I get good enough to live it, I'll get saved. Can I tell you today, you'll never get saved. You'll never get good enough to live. Amen. What only the grace of God can do. You'll never get good enough to live it because you can't live it. I can't live it. Paul couldn't live it. He said, it's Christ that lives in me that does the living for me. Yep. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. It's the grace of God that reaches down to the Lord. Not only that, but the Bible said, we find out she lost her husband. Here was a woman that was a widow. Not only was she a widow, but apparently she had come to a place that she didn't know nothing about other than what Naomi told her. She was going to a place where, amen, under the Mosaic law, she wasn't welcome in the temple. She wasn't welcome in the place of the worship. Hey, but she was going to a place where she thought she wouldn't be highly thought of. See, no doubt, amen, after she lost her husband, amen, she found herself in a sad time. Amen, maybe when she said about with Naomi, she said, I'm leaving everything I know. Ain't she glad? Thank God the first down the grace not only reaches down to the lowest, but thank God it reaches out in the moments of your saddest life. Amen, your moment of sorrow, your moment of sadness, for the grace of God reaches out and extends a hand of mercy and extends a hand of courage out to you when you feel like nobody cares, when you feel like you're all alone, when you feel like the outlook ain't good. I'm glad the first down the grace reaches out and said, just trust me. Thank God. I'm glad that's what she did. Didn't know what to expect. Haman wasn't expecting much, I promise you. But I'm glad the grace of God reached out. That personality of grace, not only Haman picked her up, but it reached out to her in a moment of sadness. Why don't you look at another thing about the personality of grace? It said this. The Bible said that she made that choice to go with Naomi. Not only does the personality of grace reach it down to the lowest, reach it out to the saddest, but it also blesses the believing. In other words, honey, all you got to do is simply believe and trust in the grace of God. Honey, she made a statement to Naomi. She said, listen, your God's going to be my God. Your people is going to be my people. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll live. Die. In other words, she just made the choice. I'm just going to believe grace. I'm just going to believe, amen, the God that I never met, that Naomi told me about. Amen, it's grace that reaches out to those that simply believe and trust.
Preacher, that's all I got to do, sure it is. Amen, to experience the grace of God. All you've got to do is just simply believe and trust, amen, in what the grace of God extends to you. I use the illustration. I don't know if I used it here the other night, but my church has heard it many times. Young guy, but a fella, on up in years, a little not too far from the church. Amen. When we first started pastoring the Pathway Baptist Church, our deacon told us about him and said all the former pastors had been up there and spoke to him and witnessed to him and his wife time and time again. Oh, they all got the same. God just never moved upon them. We went up there and began to witness to them and began to share with them. Hey, man, 4 or 5 years later, his wife come down with cancer and had the privilege of talking to her about a day or two before she passed on. And hey, man, send her. Amen. Cry out upon God. Ask God to come into her life and be Lord of her life. About a month or two later, her husband, they'd always make this statement when you ask him about salvation. He'd say, well, Brother Joe, I just hope I am. I just hope I'm all right. I just hope I'm saved. That's all they'd ever say. It'll just break my heart. Amen. One morning, about 2 months after his wife had been buried and had died, got through the broadcast and hey, man, he called me on the phone. He said, Brother Joe, this is Henry. Hey, Brother Henry, how you doing? He said, I've been listening to you. He said, I enjoyed your broadcast. I'm up here and I'm trying to get saved. I said, just hang on. I'll be right there. Walked up there where he's at. Hey, man, got there in his room. And I said, Brother Henry, you know that the Bible is true. He said, I do. I said, you know that if you ask God to save you, he will. He said, I do. I said, that's all you got to do. I said, let's pray. We began to pray, and he cried out to God. I said, Brother Henry, what about it? He said, well, I just hope so. I said, let's pray again, brother. Hey, man, we prayed a second time. The second time, hey, man, I said, Brother Henry, what about it? He said, I just hope so. I said, no, wait a minute, Brother Henry. How did you just told me that you believe the Bible is true? You know, according to Scripture, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know that all you've got to do is call upon Him and He'll save you, don't you? He said, yes, I do. I said, let's pray one more time with that being said. Hey, man, the third time he began to pray. Hey, man, he got done praying. I looked at him. I said, Brother Henry, what about it? He said, well, he stopped before he could get all the word hope out. He stopped. Smile come across his face. He said, you know, Brother Joe, he said, I just asked the Lord to save me. I'm just going to believe He did. That's all it is. Thank God I'm glad. Amen. To believing. How that grace will reach out. Amen. And welcome you in. When you just simply believe and trust. So many times we make it hard to accept what grace wants to do for us. All we got to do is simply just believe in what grace wants to do, what God wants to do, and allow Him to do what only He can do. Not only see the personality of grace, but don't you look at the person of grace. Find out that Boaz was the near kinsman of Elimelech. Now don't you understand, we see that Boaz is a picture of the Lord Himself. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what it said. The Bible said he came from Bethlehem. Everybody know where what happened Bethlehem? Yeah. Everybody knows that. You see, he was a picture of our Lord and Savior. Amen, the Redeemer of mankind. There had to be three things, amen, that Redeemer under Mosaic law has to have before he could buy some land that a dear kindred, a near loved one, maybe had left because of maybe it being a bondservant, or maybe a half like Ruth had, or Naomi had, and coming back to lay claim to it. It had to be a near kinsman redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, to redeem that land. There were three qualifications. One of them was, he had to be a near kinsman. The second one was,
He had to be able to have the wealth. You'll find out in verse 1, hey man, Elimelech, that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, whose name was Boaz. So we see in verse number 1 that he had the wealth to do it. And you'll find out in chapter 4, hey man, in chapter 3 and 4, that he was willing, which is a third thing that you had to have to be to redeem something. You had to be a kinsman redeemer. You had to be have the wealth to do it, and then you had to be willing to do it. Aren't you glad for what Jesus did for us? Thank God he was qualified in all three ways. Preacher, how could he be our near kinsman redeemer? Huh? He put on the robe of flesh, came down, made, and put on the likeness of man. Thank God, so he could be our near kinsman redeemer. Thank God he had all the wealth, to be able to redeem you and I. And thank God he was willing enough that he went to Calvary.
Amen.
We find out that Boaz, thank God, was the one or that person of grace. And I say Jesus himself, he is that person of grace. We find out that Ruth, Bible said in verse 2, we'll find out in just a second. How she went looking for somebody she could find grace in their eyes. What she was looking for, she didn't realize at the moment that she found it. She's looking for Boaz. Can I tell you today, if you hear lost tonight, you're looking for Jesus. You may not know it now, but you're looking for something that you ain't got. You're looking for something that you need. Isn't that something? It's just what Ruth was looking for. You're looking for that one, in whose eyes you can find grace. Walter Baxendale wrote this about John Newton. He said this, John Newton, on being asked his opinion on some subject, replied, "When I was young, I was sure of many things. There are only two things of which I am sure now. One is that I am a miserable sinner. And the other, that Jesus Christ is an all-sufficient Savior." Can I tell you, that's exactly where Ruth was. She realized she wasn't nothing. Thank God she realized, she was nothing, could expect much of nothing, but she was, going to find grace. Little did she know that she would find that grace in a man called Boaz. But thank God, an all-sufficient, a Savior, an all-sufficient individual that would take care of everything she ever thought she would ever need, and even more. Ain't that way Jesus is? Thank God, ain't you glad that all we are just a miserable sinner? And that he is that all-sufficient Savior. Boy, I'm so glad for that. Not only we see, the personality and grace, the personal grace, but don't you notice, verse number 2. "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight." I shall find grace. See, not only the personality of grace, the person of grace, but we find out the pursuit of grace. Ruth was in pursuit of something, and she called it herself. She said, "I'm going to try to go out into a place, and glean in the field of somebody whose eyes I can find grace." Brother Perry, that's still saying, "I'm going looking for grace." Even though Grace knew where she was at, she was going looking for something that she didn't have, for something that she needed in her life. She said, "I'm just going to trust, in the grace and the love of whoever I'm not looking out upon me and find me able to do something for me I can't do for myself." Can I tell you today, you may be here tonight, say, "Preacher, I'm not trying to get saved." Can I ask you why you're here? "Preacher, I don't need nothing." And I tell you today, if you say you don't need nothing, the devil's got you believing a lie. But we all need the grace of God. We all need the touch of God.
Amen. You may be in a circumstance of life. You need the grace of God to come down right where you're at and find you. Amen. And just wrap His arms around you and love you. Bring you back to that place that God intends you to be. Give you your joy back. Give you your shout back. Amen. Let you. I'll be like we preached last night. Be an example to everywhere you go of the grace of God. See, she went looking. Preacher, how'd she go looking? Hey man, she went out by faith. How do we find grace? It's by faith. Hey man, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Bible says over in the book of Hebrews, I believe it is, chapter number 11, verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm glad, thank God, that Ruth went out looking. Hey, man, for Boaz, she didn't even know him. Oh, I'm so glad that one day, I went to the old-fashioned, Heyman altar one day, didn't know him. I heard about him. Heyman, no doubt she heard about Boaz. She didn't know him. Thank God. She went looking for somebody whose eyes she could find grace. And she found it. Heyman, in the hand of Boaz. You see, I went looking for help. Somebody that could help me. And that one, thank God that I found grace in His eyes. The one that grace found me was at the feet of Jesus. Ain't she glad today? I'm glad, thank God, grace found me right at His feet. I'm glad grace found me when I was sinner on my way to hell. Grace found me at my most vulnerable point in my life when I needed Him the most. Grace found me. We see the pursuit of grace. Not only that, we see something else. Verse 3. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to the light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now let me sort of stop there just for a moment. And let you get a picture that you may not have. During biblical time, there was no fences. There was no road, hey man, to divide this one's property and that one's property. In other words, everyone's field met. And you could look out there and you couldn't tell whose field was who. The Bible said that she went, hey man, just looking for a place to glean. Oh, hallelujah, I like this. And her half was to land on the part that belonged to Boaz. Now you believe what you want to. Some folks may call that word half luck, but I don't. You know what I call it? Grace. I'm glad the grace of God found her there in Moab. Heaven allowed her to be a, amen, come to Naomi. I be grace. Allowed her to make the decision to go back with Naomi. I be grace for her with her that day when she went out to glean. I be grace. Hey, when she came to that part, that field belongs to Boaz. I be the grace of God says stop. Right here it is. Right here where you're supposed to be. Ain't you glad? Hey man, how many of you remember that time? Oh, and maybe you hadn't intended to go to church. Oh, but for some unknown reason, you found yourself in church that day that you got saved. Maybe you didn't intend to be where you were at when the grace of God found you. Oh, what deal did you realize? The grace of God already found you. Allowed you to be right where you needed to be. To hear what you heard. To see what you see. To experience what you experienced. That you can have that grace that led you right where you need to be. Where God's power can be shown to you. I'm talking about when grace found me. Ain't you glad that grace found me? Ain't you glad that you could say grace found you? Hey man, oh, see the providence of grace. Grace put her in the right place. Now the grace directed her to that place that she needed to be able to hear and experience what, amen, to get the eye of Boaz. Find out that
She went to Gleanville's fight and said, Boaz and the servant, we said over the river, who is this? Whose damsel is this? Hey man, when he caught, now like this, hey man, you don't hear much of love at first sight anymore. But can I tell you, when grace found me, it was love at first sight. When Boaz found her, it was love at first sight. I believe that Ruth caught his eye that very morning. Who is this damsel? Oh, who is this young lady? Honey, I believe the grace of Moab. Amen. Amen. A feast upon me. I'm deserving. Ruth, grace found her. Grace fell in love with her. Ain't you glad that grace found us right where we need to be? And it was that grace that fell in love with me and said, you're the one that I want. Hey, man, I want to give you all that I have. I want to show you my love and my mercy and my grace, all my promises. I want to bestow them all upon you. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us when he saved our soul. I'm glad it was that love that God had for us. Amen. And led us to the right place. Led me to revival meeting Tuesday nights up at Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Led me to an old-fashioned altar about right there on the altar. Amen. When I first met grace. Amen. And can I say to you that in this building tonight, amen, experience salvation. You know why I'm at, because you've been there. Ain't you glad that grace led you to the right church, led you to the right night? The grace of God loved you enough. Amen. To make himself known to you and provide for you something that you'd never known before. I'm talking about the providence of grace. It put it in the right place. It pointed to the right person. Can I tell you that's what the grace of God will do? It'll point you to Jesus. Honey, can I tell you, we're living in a world today will point you to the preacher. Hey man, ain't a lot of preachers in behind the pulpit. Honey, they'll preach and they'll parade themselves in such a way that, hey man, everything will be pointed right at them. Honey, I'm going to tell you, grace won't point you to Brother David. Grace won't point you to Brother Johnny Wells or Brother Joe Moore. Grace won't point you to us. Thank God, grace will point you straight to Jesus. Thank God, he'll, hey man, point you to the right person. They can give you something. Hey man, that me or any other preacher, anybody else can never give you. That's that wonderful gift of grace. Wonderful plan of salvation. Grace pointed to the right place. Pointed to the right person. Amen. They provided her with the right promise. Amen. You said, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said this. And the servant that was sent over the reaper's answer said, this is a Moabite stem that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. She said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheep. So she came and had continued even from morning until now that she tarried a little in the promise in the house. Excuse me. Then said Boaz to Ruth, now catch this. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here by my maidens. No words, grace simply said, here's a promise I'm going to give to you. He said, you abide, don't you go to another field, you stay right where you're at. You glean here with my maiden. I've already charged the young men that they shall not touch you. I've already charged them that when you get thirsty, they'll give you some vessels. I've already charged them whatever you need, you can have. You'll find out later on that he told his men, give her some handfuls of purpose. Woo! You see, that's what grace will do. Honey, when grace finds you, thank God it'll provide you with some promises that you've never known before. Some promises that you can bank on. Some promises that encourage you along life's journey. Some promises that you can carry with you the rest of your life. They'll strengthen you. If you abide here, not only we see the personality of grace, the person of grace, we see the pursuit of grace. Providence of grace, but don't you notice something else? We see the power of grace. The Bible says this, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go after them, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art thirst, go into the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? You see, not only did she find that personality of grace? No, did she pursue grace? Not only did she find that are those other things that grace provided for, but she experienced the power of grace. You said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Honey, she would, amen, that power of grace or Boaz provided for her what she could not do for herself. He was a widow woman, amen, didn't have much outlook on life, but yet grace met her, grace found her, and grace provided for her what she could not provide for herself. Can I tell you, that's exactly what the grace of God will do for you and I. It'll provide for you what you cannot do for yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot wish yourself into heaven. You cannot work yourself into heaven. You cannot will yourself into heaven. It's the grace of God that's going to get you to heaven and the grace of God alone. The preacher, what are you talking about? You see, grace provided for her, the power of grace provided for her something she could never provide for herself. I'm glad it's that same grace of God. You may be here tonight that can provide for you something that you've been trying to give yourself for years and you just can't do it. You've been trying to give yourself peace. You've been trying to find that peace and that joy that seems like just keeps escaping you. Boy, it seemed like just right out of arms of reach. Well, if I could just make this kind of money, I'd be happy. Or if I could meet this right man or this right girl, I'd just be so tickled to death. I'd be so happy. Or if I could just, I even have this beautiful house. Or if I could just drive in this pretty old car, I would be so happy. But when you find it, you find out it ain't it. It ain't it. Why? You're trying to give you something, yourself something that you can't provide for yourself. Can I say joy and peace don't come from nothing we can do for ourselves, but it comes because grace finds you. I'm glad when grace finds you. It provides you something that you cannot do for you. Do for you something that you cannot do for yourself. Not only will it do something that you cannot do for yourself, but it also, let me just stop there. Let me use illustrations. Somehow we may see a person as an alcoholic, a bum, amen, and maybe even a mess because of a life of sin that they've indulged in all their life. God sees not only what we are, but can I tell you, God sees what we can become because His grace finds us. Maybe some of you in this building tonight, you've been on drugs. Maybe some of you in this building tonight may have been alcoholics. Maybe some of you in this building tonight have had some addictions in your life and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried to overcome it, but yet you've been unable. Why don't you allow the grace of God to do for you, amen, what you can't do for yourself? Honey, if you're trying to do it for yourself, it'll never work. I've had folks say, "Preacher, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried." Honey, it's time to quit trying and let the grace of God find you right where you're at. Amen. Rely upon that grace of God and the power of grace. Amen. To do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Not only that, we find out the power of grace that procured for her a relationship that she could never receive. Now catch this. Under Mosaic law, it was forbidden for the Jews to marry a Moabite. Why did Boaz, thank God, marry this Moabite woman? Honey, it was a call of grace. That's all it was. It went beyond the law. Can I tell you, grace did what the law could not do. Grace taught, amen, and picked up where the law failed. Thank God grace kept him when the law said, amen. When the law said, no way. And that grace kept him and allowed her to become the wife of Boaz. Why? Because grace found her. Can I tell you today, that's exactly what happened to you and I. I would say we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers without no hope. But God, who is rich in mercy, found us. See, we were Gentiles. We were nobody. We were outcasts. We were dogs. But I'm glad the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said He came in His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And that grace found me. I'm glad how Him in His own, as the Lord turned His back, and that grace found me. Amen. He did what the Lord could not do. He did what the Lord failed to do. The Bible said the law, amen, brought sin to our forefront. You know what the law did? It revealed sin. Amen. I don't know, maybe many of you, all of you know this, but let me go share it with you right quick. That won't take me long. But the law was given to Moses, amen, to show man their wickedness, their weakness. You know what? The law was given by God, knowing very well that no one except for Jesus Himself could ever fulfill every jot, every point of the law, that man could not do it. So, preacher, that sounds sort of strange. You see, God gave the law to mankind. Now, don't get me wrong. I hear folks say, well, if we live by the law, hey, man, we'll be all right. No, you can't. Let me tell you. You can live by the law all you want to. Amen. Unless grace finds you, you'll still die and go to hell. Amen. Amen. The law, amen, brought sin to remembrance of mankind. He brought us to the forefront. He said, listen, you're a sinner. You sin. Amen. Amen. There's no way that you can make yourself whole. But grace did what the law could not do. The law revealed sin, but grace took it away. I heard it put this way one time. I believe Dr. Lester Roloff, I don't know how many of you may know him. Dr. Lester Roloff preached a message on Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. And he used it as like going into a doctor's office. And he said, I realized that one day I had a problem. He said, I went to Dr. Law. Dr. Law began to look over my life and look over me. He said, yes, sir, you've got a problem. I said, doctor, what is it? Is it serious? He said, yes, sir, it's serious. He said, am I going to die? He said, yes, sir, you're going to die. He said, well, what can I do about it? What can you do about it? He said, there ain't nothing I can do about it. He said, wait a minute. You said I've got a problem. But you said, hey, man, you know that I'm going to die. He said, you are. But he said, why can't you do nothing about it? He said, I'm not specialized to handle that. But he said, I can refer you to somebody that I know that is a specialist. Dr. Grace.
Yep.
Folks, that's the way it is.
Yep.
You see, law reveals sin, but grace finds us in the middle of our sin and redeems us. Grace redeemed. Grace procured a relationship for her she could not provide for herself. You see, she never thought that ever, hey man, this old Moabitish woman would ever be part of the lineage of the Holy Savior. Yet she was. Hey man, she became a lineage of Christ. Mentioned, even the very lineage over in the book of Matthew, you'll find out her name is mentioned. Amen, in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because grace found her. You see, grace procured a relationship with Boaz that she could have never given for herself. She was never good enough, amen, to be able to even look to Boaz. She was never good enough to even have, amen, to go to glean in his field. But grace found her. Even though she was undeserving. Even though she was unfit. Even though she was a miserable sinner. Grace found her. And procured a relationship for her she could not do for herself. But then was one last thing. Grace produced a future for her she would have never had. Oh, this Moabitish woman. If you look in the last chapter of chapter 4, you'll find out that the women of the land of Judah, a land of Bethlehem, began to cry out, hey man, sing praises to Ruth. A Moabitish woman. But yet the land of Bethlehem began to sing praise for her. Why? Because, thank God, the power of grace found her and gave her something. A relationship, gave her a future she would have never had not grace found her. Can And I tell you today, if you're here today, hey man, you're in need, you're looking for something that, hey man, you don't have in your life. Can I tell you, grace is here today looking for you. He knows where you're at. Oh, why don't you just, hey man, let the grace of God lead you to the altar tonight. Hey man, land you on the part that belongs to Boaz tonight. Hey man, he done caught his eye on you. Hey man, let that power of grace provide for you something you can't do for yourself, a relationship you can't give yourself, and a future you never thought possible. I'm talking about the power of grace. When grace found me, John Newton also said this, when I get to heaven, I shall see three wonders there. First wonder will be to see many people there whom I did not expect to see. Second wonder will be to miss many people whom I did expect to see. And he said the third wonder, and the greatest wonder of all, will be to find myself there. Why? Because grace found me. The power of grace, amen, produced a future for her that she would have never had. And I say today that's exactly what grace had done for you and I. Those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, grace found us right in the middle of Moab. Amen. Grace allowed us to pursue something we knew we needed, but we didn't know what it was. Yeah, I'm glad it was the grace of God that allowed us to find ourselves right on behalf of Boaz, right on the field that belonged to Boaz. It was the grace of God, amen, to provide for us something we could not provide for ourselves. What about it? Every head bowed, that's a message. Grace found me. Can I ask you today, has grace found you?